Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be home. And he is indeed my brother from the same father, but different mother. I'm glad to see you and thank you for your prayers and your support. I want you to know that what you've been doing in Haiti have real impact into people's life. And thank you, Pastor, for your friendship, and thank you, the church, for standing with us in our time of trials. Things are not easy in Haiti at the moment that we're talking. People are dying. But, you know, the best place to be is where God sent you. I do have the option. I could, my kids and myself, we could stay in Vancouver, where I just came from last 2 days. But I choose to be in Haiti because that's where God sent me. And that's where he gave me a burden, a work to do, and I intend to do it until it's over. And I know it's not too far away. The rapture will be coming. So thank you so much. And we are now extending to Dominican Republic. And that means I have to learn Spanish. So if you thought that I had an accent, wait to see after I finish learning Spanish. So I will not be speaking in tongues this morning. I will try to speak your beautiful language, English. And I remember I went to a church in Philadelphia, in California, and at the end of the service, and this old lady came to me and said, "I have never heard somebody speaking in tongue that nice." I said, "No, I was speaking English." Well, this morning I will not be speaking in tongue. I will be speaking English, God's willing. Once again, it's a privilege to be here. This morning I'm going to share something that is not the easiest thing to share with a church on a Sunday morning. And somebody made a comment after the first service. "Oh, thank you for being Joel Osteen." I am not. But this morning I'm going to share a word that God put into my heart to share with you. This is not the most easiest message because we are going to use word that you, in general, people doesn't like. But, you know, it's a church, it's a clinic. Sometimes we get candies, but sometimes we have real shots. And sometimes it hurts, but that's a process. The Word of God is designed to penetrate our heart and get things done. So tonight, this morning, we're going to talk about a story that you all know in Luke 16, verse 19 to 31. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. Have you read this story? This is a very nice story. And this morning I said, "Lord, you give me such a message for a church. You know the possibility they might ask me never come back again." Because people like nice message and message that will speak about abundance, heaven, prosperity, nice thing. But once you mention hell, they're not happy. But you know what? Let us dig into it. This chapter contains the account of a very rich man who lived a life of extreme luxury. Laid aside the gate of this rich man's house, however, was an extremely poor man called Lazarus, who simply hoped that one day he could eat what fell from the rich man's table. The rich man was completely indifferent to the plight of Lazarus, showing him no love, no mercy, no sympathy or compassion whatsoever. The rich man also asked Abraham, and as you know, what happened, you and I, we die. And that's remind me, it was like yesterday. I was 8 years old. I was running in Haiti, swimming, climbing trees. And then yesterday I realized that I'm 57. And soon I'm going to be 68. If I'm lucky, and then I will kiss the world goodbye. We grow, we die. And that's something that will ever happen, that will always happen, either you like it or not. And whenever I tend to forget it, my son of 9 years old remind me, "Dad, you are old." And I say, "Yes, son, you will be old one day." So the rich man also asks, they all die. And the Bible says, and this is not my story, this is Jesus actually telling the story. Both of them die. Lazarus went to heaven, and the rich man went to hell. And that's the word I know. It's not a comfortable word. Being in hell, the rich man also asked Abraham, "Father Abraham, I'm so thirsty where I am. Would you please send Abraham, Lazarus, that he will drop some water on my tongue? Because the fire is fierce here and I am suffering. Would you please do that?" And Abraham said, "Son, I can't. I can't send Lazarus from where he is to where you are. There is a gap. There is a barrier." And this is not me telling you that they go to hell. The rich men go to hell and Abraham and Lazarus go to heaven. And then he said, "But, you know, if you can't send Lazarus to me, would you please send him to my brothers on earth and beg them not to join me where I am, because it is tough here. Please do that." And Abraham answered, "No, son, it's impossible. If they don't hear and listen to the scripture, they will not even hear somebody coming from heaven to speak to them. They have the scripture." The rich man also asked Abraham to send a warning, "Whatever you can, because I don't want them to come to me." Both requests were denied, and Abraham told this man, "It is impossible. They have the scripture. They need to listen to the scripture." But these words are not my words. I found them in John 3:36. We will read it together. "He who believes and trusts in the Son and accepts him as eternal life, but he who does not believe the Son and chooses to reject him as Savior will not see eternal life, but the wrath of God hangs over him continually." I know sometimes we only want to say good words to people, but the word of God in John 3:36 say that if you accept him as your Savior, you will be with him. But if you do not have him as your Savior, you will not see him. At the contrary, his wrath will hang over you. And this is not my word. We do not know if it is a real life story or if it's a parable, because in general in the parables they do not tell names. In this one they mention Lazarus, they mention the rich man. But either it is a parable or not, we have a lot to learn from this chapter, so we are going to dig into it, and I hope you understand my accent. Am I okay? Wonderful. This is so encouraging. So I will start speaking Spanish. First of all, Jesus teaches here that heaven and hell are both real, literal places. Sadly, many preachers shy away from uncomfortable topics such as hell. Some even teach something they call universalism. They believe that everyone goes to heaven. Yet, Christ spoke about hell a great deal, as did Paul, Peter, John, Jude, and the author of Hebrews. The Bible is clear. that every person who died and every person who have ever lived, they will spend their eternity either in heaven or hell. Like the rich men in the story, multitude today are complacent in their conviction that they will hear upon their death, they will hear a God that tell them, welcome to heaven. This will not be the case. This Savior, at the contrary, you may hear, stay away from me. Matthew 7:23, we read, and then I will declare to them, that Jesus speaking, the Master, and then I will declare to them publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me. You are banished from my presence. You who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. That's the word of the Lord. The story also illustrates that once we cross the eternal horizon, that it is there no more chances that the transition to our eternal state takes place. Once you die, there is no more chances for something to change. The Bible says that in Hebrews 9:27, it is reserved to mankind to die once. And after that come the judgment. So all you have ahead of you, in front of you, is your life today and what you want to make with it. Do not expect that you will have a second chance after life. Once you die, this is it. And that's why it is important this morning that you listen to this message. In Luke 23:43, Jesus said to him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You remember these words? That was the man dying on the cross. And he was a wicked man, and there were two. But one of them take his chance and look at Jesus and say, I'm a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. Would you please remember me when you come in your kingdom? And Jesus turned to him and said, one day you will be with me. Am I right? No. Jesus did not say that you may be with me or you will be with me. No. Jesus said, today. Now, because this man was about to die. Jesus did not save him from the physical death, but immediately on the cross, Jesus told him, today you're going to be with me immediately in the paradise. We are of good courage and confident hope and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Once you die, you will be in either place, with the Lord in paradise and with your other father in where he is. The choice is yours. When believers die, they are immediately in the conscious fellowship and joy of heaven. When unbelievers die, they are just as immediately in the conscious pain, suffering, and torment of hell. Notice that the rich man didn't ask for his brother to go and pay for purgatorial middle ground. I grew up Catholic, and I know what I'm telling you, and I have nothing against any Catholics. But one day, I grew up, and we were so poor, and I went to the Father, and I had a genuine question. And I said to the Father, what will happen to my mom when she died? Because we don't have money to pay for her every year to have a mass. In Haiti, they have the habit, the rich people pay every year. They give a lump sum of money to the Father to pay for something called purgatory. And do you know what it is? The purgatory is the money that you pay to the Father, and every year they say something for your dead people because eventually they will be promoted from purgatory to heaven. And the Father said, you know, you're young, you will have time to work and get some money. You can pay for your mom, don't be sad. And I went home really sad because the prospect of having that much money to pay every year, I could not comprehend it. So I was so sad. I prayed to God. I said, Lord, what will happen to my mom? Because as a young boy, I was worrying about my mom. And then God put into my heart, and he literally asked me, go back to the Father and ask him this question. And I was bold enough because in Haiti, you respect the Father. He said, oh, you don't dare asking any type of question. So I went to the Father and asked the question God asked me to ask. God told me, ask the Father, can you please give me one single example of someone that they have paid for him and they ever made it to heaven? Can you give me one name? The Father said, what type of question are you asking? I said, I want to make sure. Did someone ever made it from purgatory to heaven? The Father said, this is nonsense. You don't know what you're talking about. I said, there is no one. He said, not as I know. And I said, thank you, Father. I went home. And I was so happy because the Lord told me, This is a joke. When you died. There is no purgatory. There is no transitional. That's why your life is important today. The decision that you are making is very important today. Because once you die, this is it. May I repeat myself? Once you die, this is it. This is the time of salvation. This is the time to make the decision, and it is free. Like many these days who buy into the prosperity gospel, the rich man wrongly saw his material riches as evidence of God's blessing and love. People think, oh, because I'm so rich, God must love me a lot, and I have blessing. And when I get to the gate of heaven, God will be Mr. So-and-so. Come on in, man, you're a good man. No, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Likewise, people believe that if you are poor, you must have been cursed from God. If you are destitute like Lazarus, you have a curse on you and you'll go straight to hell. That's not the case. Let us read James 5:5. On the earth you have lived luxuriously and abundant yourself to soft living and led a life of malicious pleasure or self-gratification. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. Not only riches not get one into heaven, but they have the power to separate a person from God in a way that few other things can. Riches are deceitful. Riches can be a distraction. And to make a long story short, I was in med school, and the first time my mom came from New Jersey and said, son, you are in your 4 years of medical school, and you still take a tap. Here, I give you a gift. And my mom gave me a beautiful Toyota Celica and 2 doors. I was so happy. And you know what happened? 2 weeks after, I was on my way up north to Haiti on a Sunday morning at 9:30. I was with 3 of my friends. We were going to the beach. And on Sunday morning, I was supposed to be at church with my mom. And on the road, I said, what's going on? I was supposed to be at church with my mom, and now I have 3 of my friends. We're going to a beach. You know what? Because I had the car. And I had the car, friends invited me, and then I was on my way to the beach. Because when you have opportunity, if you do not control them, they will control you. and they can take you away slowly from your purpose. Mark 4:19. But the worries and cares of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth and the passionate desire for all the other things creep in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You remember the parable of the sower. Some seeds fall in good ground, but some other seeds fall in ground, but there were so many distractions. And then what happened? These things creep in and choke the good word in you. In Mark 19:23, it is certainly not impossible for the very rich to enter heaven. Many of our heroes in the Bible were wealthy. They had a lot of money. That does not stop them to go to heaven. But scripture is clear. It is very hard when you have a lot of wealth and to be able to control the wealth. Instead, you let the wealth controlling you. You become a slave of what you own instead of being the master. True followers of Jesus Christ will not be like this rich man, indifferent to the plight of the poor people, like the rich man in this story. God loves the poor people, and God is offended when his children neglect them. Proverbs 17:5, whoever mocks the poor taunts his maker. This is not me speaking. This is Proverb from the Amplified Bible. Whoever mocks the poor taunts his maker. And he who rejoices at another's disaster will not go unpunished. Proverbs 22:22, do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor crush the afflicted at the gate where the city court is held. In fact, those who show mercy to the poor are in effect ministering to Christ himself. Christians are known by the fruit they bear. The Holy Spirit residence in our hearts will most certainly impact how we live, what we do, and how we treat people around us. How we live, what we do, and how we treat the least of these among you. And to make sure that we get it correct, let us read together Matthew 25:35-40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invite me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me, ignoring danger. Then the righteous man will say, Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you stranger, we invite you in? When did we see you naked and we clothe you? When? And the master, the king, will answer and said, inasmuch that you have done that for the least of these brethren, you have done it unto me. So more often, folks, you are dealing with little Jesus at the corner. You are dealing with Jesus that may happen to you like a homeless. You are dealing with Jesus that may be in need, and you ignore that is Jesus. And you pass by like the Levite did for the men who were on the Samaritan road. But Jesus will say, I was on the side of the road. You stop and give me some water. I was naked and you clothed me. And I'm a living testimony of what love can do. I was growing up with no hope. I could not go to school. So I started going to school at 10 years old. But somebody, a missionary like you from New Jersey, went to Haiti and gave me a chance in life. And then I go to school for the first time. She literally gave me a chance. And I can't wait to see her in heaven. And I can't wait to see Abraham. And thanks to his kindness and mercy, thanks to the love of God, I could go to school, go to medical school, come to Florida, do my specialty, go to Ottawa. And now I'm traveling all over the world providing medical care for those who cannot afford because somebody invests in my life. Somebody has sowed a seed in my life. You can do a difference in somebody's life. And you don't have to go to Haiti. You can do it in New Haven. You can do it in Hartford. You can do it in Cheshire. You can do it in the nursing home. Guess what? You can do it in your own family, your nephew and cousin and friend and coworker. You can be a Jesus in your inner circle. Abraham's words in verse 29, 31, referring to Moses and to the prophets, confirming that the scripture is enough to transform someone's unbelief into belief. The word of God can transform your life. The word of God can help you having control over what you own. Do not let everything you own owns you. But you have to be in control. Let us read the word of God in Hebrews 4:12. If the word hurts you this morning, that was not my intention. You do not come to a church, a friend church, and come to hurt people. But when the Lord speaks to you, receive the word if it's for you. And if you have to adjust your life and make some change, do it before it is too late. Because once you close your eyes, it's over. And I'm telling you, there is no purgatory. For the word of God is living and active and full of power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, and both joint and marrow, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intention of your hearts. If the word of God is touching your hearts and your intention and your inner circle, don't resist to the word of God. Rather, go to your knees and say, Lord, I am surrendering. Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. The Bible says that our earthly lives are a mist that appear for a little while and then vanished. Life is short. Life is short, and you never know when it will be over. Maybe now, maybe tomorrow, maybe today, maybe in 10 years. You don't know, but you have no guarantee. So do what you need to do today and do not procrastinate for tomorrow. You may not have time. James 4:4. Yet you do not know about what may happen in your life tomorrow. You are merely a vapor that is visible for a little while and then vanished into thin air. We were both together, medical student, my friend. We were in the medical hospital, and I dropped her at the bus station because she had an appointment to the Belgium embassy, and I was supposed to pick her up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Margaret went and never come back because 2 hours after, the bus has an accident and she passed. She died, and I never saw her ever since. And the regret that I have until today, because at that time, I was too busy being a medical student. I did not have time to share the gospel with her. Never be too busy to share God with somebody because that might be the last time you see this person. Take advantage. Place a word for Jesus. You never know. And so you won't live like I did, with this regret that I didn't have a chance to share the gospel with her. Our earthly sojourn is exceedingly brief. Perhaps the greatest lesson to learn from this story then is that when death comes knocking on our door, there is only one thing that matters: our relationship with God and our relationship with our loved ones and our relationship with other people. You will not be able to carry anything you have. You will not be able to have them. But you know, you may live with joy knowing where you're going, or you may live with regrets knowing that you have messed it up and you didn't have a chance to repair it. But today is the day of salvation. I'm a physician. I deal with people dying all the time. I'm a surgeon by trade. Sometime, unfortunately, some patient doesn't make it. But I have to deal with people in transition from life to death all the time. And I can tell you, it can be very ugly. It can be very scary. And you can see it in their face. It is real. I'm not here to make you scared. Hell is real as heaven is real. Make a decision. Serve the Lord now when it is time. The truth is, if we wish to live apart from God during our life, He will grant us our wish for eternity as well. If you don't want to live with Him now, He will let you not to live with Him for eternity. As one pastor aptly said, if you board the train of unbelief, you will have to take it all the way to its destination. So this morning, I didn't say that rich people go to hell. I didn't say that poor people go to heaven. That's not the case. Poor people, rich people, none of them go to hell. Only none of them go to heaven. Only those who accept Jesus goes to heaven. Only that. So the secret is to receive Jesus. The Bible says that if you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you do not have the Son, the wrath of God will hang over you. So the choice is yours. And today is the day of salvation. If you have heard the voice of God, please surrender, because you don't know when will be. That might be your last message. That might be your last day you come to Sunday service. Make a decision today. Take care of your relationship with God and take care of your relationship with your loved one. And I'm sorry if these words hurt you, but you have work to do. Go to the Lord in prayer and make it straight. Make it right with Him. May God bless you.